With all the legislative struggles we've been talking about, does President Obama right now have the political capital to deliver on this?
I'll lay out my vision for where I believe we need to go. A national plan to reduce carbon pollution, prepare our country for the impacts of climate change, and lead global efforts to fight it.
That's a weekend preview of a speech the president is set to deliver today on climate change. Not talked about much during the 2012 campaign, the president wants to make another push for new regulations curbing greenhouse gas emissions from coal and oil-burning power plants.
There's no single step that can reverse the effects of climate change. But when it comes to the world we leave our children, we owe it to them to do what we can. So I hope you'll share this message with your friends, because this is a challenge that affects everyone. And we all have a stake in solving it together.
Joining us now, environmental activist and former Green Party nominee for president. She's also a physician, Jill Stein. Welcome.
Thank you, John. It's great to be here.
So nice soundtrack, real sincere sounding voice there. Do you buy it?
Well, I buy it about as much as I buy that this was going to be the most transparent government ever, that the president was going to protect Social Security and make the economy more fair and, you know, bring the troops home. So, you know.
So a lot of cynicism from the Green Party nominee for president in 2012. The president will talk about climate change and pick up the issue once again. What do you think should be at the top of the to-do list in a real White House climate change agenda?
I think, you know, we need to start by telling the American people the truth. And that's not only that we have a serious problem. I think most people understand that now. But it's also that all of the above is not a solution. It's absolutely, you know, unscientific. It is deceptive. And it is a deadly policy. It's like saying I'm going to give my kid an all of the above diet, including some lead and arsenic and pesticides, plus some blueberries and spinach and things like that. So, you know, you can't give your kid an all-of-the-above diet. Poison is not mitigated by healthy food.
Can we explore the all-of-the-above idea there? You're saying that the president can't pursue a policy of more oil and gas development and a policy of fossil fuel emissions control and have any hope to succeed.
Exactly. And I think, you know, the most important thing to level with the American people about is that there's an absolute jobs bonanza that's waiting for us if we actually convert to a green economy. We need to do this on an emergency basis, not only for the climate, but also for the economic benefits. We could actually put 25 million people back to work at the same time that we solve climate change and, by the way, make wars for oil obsolete because we get off of the fossil fuel economy. So there's an incredible win-win here. We don't have to look farther than to Germany, whose economy is booming, whose renewable sector is on the way to becoming the major number one employer of people. We can do that. A recent study out of Stanford by Mark Jacobson showed, for example, in New York State that we could be at a zero fossil fuel economy. We could be completely 100% renewables, not only for electricity, but also for transportation and heating and for industry uses. We could be there by 2030 and have it paid for itself simply by the health benefits that come from reducing pollution. So, you know, this is entirely doable. The American public is already there. The ones who aren't there basically are Congress, and that's no surprise because, you know, Congress is subject to the same influence peddling that the president is, you know, and there are hundreds of millions of dollars spent, for example, in the last election cycle on campaign contributions and lobbying.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment.
Buyout policy.
Have you given up on this president, and have the American people given up on things like cap and trade and the kinds of reduction of fossil fuels that you've called for?
Yes, and indeed, you know, cap and trade, I think, wasn't going to do it, and the track record of cap and trade isn't good. But on the other hand, we have the example of a Green New Deal, which is, you know, you can look to Germany, you can look to Jacobson's detailed plan, you can look to the New Deal that helped substantially revive our economy. Now just make those green jobs, and voila, you have a solution to the economic crisis as well as the energy crisis. And this is what the American public is clamoring for. And that,
well,
I think,
but wait a minute.
Is how you move Congress.
The president made these arguments in 2008 and all during the first term, and people didn't buy them. People didn't think that those jobs were coming from the renewable sector.
And they weren't going to, you know, because cap and trade doesn't really foster the development of small businesses. It doesn't increase employment. You know, it doesn't make the economic transition that we need to make. Cap and trade is a very Wall Street friendly expansion of the gambling economy, you know, and it basically puts energy into that gambling sector. So it really didn't have a leg to stand on. It's no surprise that the president couldn't rally support behind it. But if he instead made his objective here actually creating jobs, putting everyone back to work, eliminating unemployment, this is what the American people are already clamoring for. So if he could really speak to those needs and clarify how it pays for itself by reducing health costs, also by making wars for oil obsolete so that we could, in fact, reduce the military expenditures.
Respond to the question, though. Have you given up on this president, or are you still ambivalent about Barack Obama and the question of the green agenda?
I have not given up on the American people, and that's what is going to drive this president to do the right thing.
But you have given up on Barack Obama.
Well, you know, I didn't particularly have faith that Barack Obama was going to do the right thing, given who his funders were from the start. You know, it was above all Wall Street, fossil fuels, pharmaceutical companies, the usual suspects. But look what we achieved under Richard Nixon, you know, one of the worst, most regressive Republican presidents ever. We got the EPA. We got the Clean Air Act. We brought the troops home from Vietnam. We actually got women's right to choose under the Supreme Court because we had an engaged American public. You know, why were they engaged? A whole variety of reasons, but the president could play an enormous role in reengaging the American public by telling them the truth and by rallying for real change, not the window dressing that he's talking about by regulating coal plants. Look,
right.
That was really the easy thing to do. Coal is on its way out because of the low price of natural gas.
All right, well,
and
remembering the possibility of political
exactly.
change during the Nixon years, Jill Stein is an environmental activist and the former Green Party nominee for president. She's also a physician. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, John. Good to be with you.
We'd love your ideas. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thetakeaway or visit us at thetakeaway.org. Coming up, in praise of ambivalence and indecision, that's next on The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.